an examination. It is no abstraction. This is a practical daily reality. Our plan for this meditation is to ask ourselves no less than 5 questions. What is the examination of conscience before the sacrament of confession? Again, what is the general examen of conscience made daily in the pursuit of Christian holiness? Third, what is the particular examen of conscience? Fourth, what is the daily examen of conscience necessary for growth in the spiritual life? And finally, how to make both the general and the particular examens of conscience. First, then, the examination of conscience. Basically, the examination of conscience before confession is a review in God's presence of the state of my soul. Assuming there are no mortal sins which must be confessed, I look back over the period of time since my last confession and find, I repeat, assuming there are no grave sins to confess, I find 2, 3, or 4, seldom more. More failings of which I know I've been guilty. Failures in patience, in charity, laziness, causing another person, say, some harm, taking what didn't belong to me, at the same time, not being as careful as I should have been in watching my eyes, exposing myself unnecessarily to temptations that might have resulted in grave sins, and so on. Still, a re-examination what are my options? Unless I have committed fairly deliberate sins to confess, I can choose. This is straight Catholic moral theology. I can choose one or more of my more common moral failings. It is no obligation to confess, even, I don't say all my venial sins, but even most of them. It is, however, a good idea to specify, not strictly necessary, but highly recommended, to specify the frequency of my failings in charity, in obedience, in poverty, in kindness, in industriousness, in the opposite of laziness, and in my thankfulness. Becoming discouraged There is in humility. And of course, all kinds of failures in selfishness. To be noted, and we're talking here Catholic doctrine that church teaches infallibly, that both the sacrifice of the Mass and Holy Communion remove more or less of both the guilt and the penalty of venial sins. As an article of Catholic faith, yet, and a very important yet, frequent confession of sins is highly recommended by the Church. In over the centuries, there were those who go to confession every day in the Society of Jesus by rule, as priests. They are required to go to confession at least every week, usually more often than once a week. Experience also shows that making a good daily examen, that's spelled E-X-A-M-E-N, that making a good daily examen helps immensely in making profitable sacramental confessions. So much for part one, an examination of conscience, the standard term for the review of my life, my moral conduct since my last confession. Next question. What is the general examen? We don't even commonly in spiritual literature, we don't even commonly have the words general examen of conscience. And rather, what is a general examen? By definition, a daily general examen of conscience, if you please, is of the essence of the pursuit of holiness. Not to make a daily general examen of conscience is to leave this prospect of growth in holiness, which we define as quite like this, namely, the tried method over the centuries is a daily general examen of conscience. It comes in general in three parts. And the methodology has been worked out especially by St. Ignatius, who practiced centuries before him and known to all the great masters of the spiritual life. So by definition then, a daily general examen of conscience is of the essence of the pursuit of holiness. What do? I go in God's presence and I make myself, get the word, I make myself aware of the presence of God. He returned from the first days in the Society of Jesus to stand, recite a prayer of our own making, or becoming conscious of God and say, Lord grant, through the actions, operations, of this spiritual exercise may tend solely to the glory and praise of your divine Magister. It does not matter what a person says, but there should be some prayer to place oneself into God's presence. For as we've been saying, we are congenitally always present to ourselves. Now, what am I doing? I live in the presence of God. Three areas of my spiritual life. In the past day, or for me as a Jesuit, twice a day. My rule, I have to do this two times a day. And I'm happy to report that I've been doing it. And I can further report, and it works. What are the three areas? And then, after placing myself in God's presence, what are the three areas that I examine myself on? First, gratitude. I ask myself, what blessings God has given me in the past day or past half day? Since my last examine of conscience. Immediately, I thank our Lord for these graces. And then, thank God, my name, for the blessings that I received. What I've been able to do, what I've learned, whom have I met, what humiliation I had, lots of grace, what opportunity I had for doing something that I accept for the blessing of God, I would not have been able to do it. What insight I've had. What telephone call or calls I received. As part one, gratitude. And remember, these blessings need not be, dare I say it, naturally pleasant. Now, do you do this day after day, week after week, month after month? I can tell you, you will learn a lot about God's providence in your life. Second area, contrition. Then, having seen what I can thank God for, I ask myself, what have I done? What have I done that was wrong, displeasing to God? Again, since my last examen, my thoughts, my desires, the words I've spoken, the actions I've performed. I tell our Lord, I am sorry. And I make an act of contrition, which need not be a long, even a short few words. My God, I am sorry. Oh my Jesus, have mercy on me. Then, depending on what I've done wrong, I may also impose, my notes say, a small penance for my feelings, like an extra prayer. It's a small act of self-denial. some act of charity that I might not have performed. Except that I want to, well, expiate some kind of peccadillo or some feeling of which I've been guilty. Well, of course, in doing a person some favor, you don't tell them, no, I'm hereby expiating my sins. No, use your head. It is a good idea to associate some short aspirations that I recite, if only for a moment. The moment I have done something displeasing to God, no price tag can be attached to this practice. It is priceless. Maybe just the word Jesus. I've done something wrong, I've said something that I shouldn't have said, or didn't do what I should have done, or post factum, realize how blind I was. What an opportunity I had for the practice of humility, or patience, or charity. I repeat, some short aspiration, as little as Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. Then, Area 3, resolution, in parentheses, I have anticipation. Every examiner of conscience should include a few minutes of planning. My rule requires 15 minutes twice a day. So whereas on an occasion like this, when I'm giving a retreat, I've got to skimp and somehow shift and make this in pieces. And knowing the mind of St. Ignatius, for me, is the will of God, there are situations when I can legitimately be excused for making two examines a day. But never making a daily exam to be excused. So the examiner of conscience should include a few minutes of planning. How about this numbered? Here we got 5 numbers. First, the statement I've just made. Every examiner of conscience should include a few minutes of planning. Number 2, I anticipate the next day, or for myself, the next half day. Some people can be so buried in the present, they don't even realize that, well, there's a future. Anticipate whom I will meet, where I will be, how long I will be there, or how long should I be there, or what have I got to write, and phone calls I've got to make. And what am I going to say? 3. I know what I'm supposed to do. and it stresses on the word supposed to do. I'm sure you heard this before. Human nature, left to itself, follows the following hierarchy. What do people always do first if they like the present? What do people spontaneously do second? What is useful or helpful? What do people naturally always do last? What is necessary? That's human nature. And we are the same. So, I know what I'm supposed to do. I decide, first of all, that I'm going to do it. What is in the mind? I know what I'm supposed to do. And I know, or I should know, where, in, I repeat, the hierarchy of values, this belongs. Number four, I plan on doing it. I make a decision with my mind and a resolution of the will. And notice the stress was on what am I supposed to do? What am I expected to do? What does God want me to do? You know, human nature, and we eventually end up doing what we're supposed to do. And not having them planned, and especially not having them planned in God's presence, we may not have the grace we need when we need to do what we're supposed to do. Number four. Decide. Then I'm going to do it. Where? How? How much time I will give? Over the years. And I say this only to help you. Over the years, God has been very good to me in publishing. I don't want to give a figure. Number of words. But overall, I had responsibilities, teaching, all the chores that belong to my state of life. Unless you plan, and obviously, there will be enough time for many people I've talked to, things that they should be doing, I don't have the time. And then I'm not having the time to do what they should do is the failure to do what they're talking about. Today, resolve, having anticipated my mind, resolve with my will. What I'm going to do, how I'm going to do it, how much time I'm going to give to it. Otherwise, we're living in a country which is the most time-wasting nation, I believe, in human history. The most precious gift we have from God, after His divine grace, is time. Finally, I jot down what I call my agenda, which, as you know, in Latin, there's no such mood in the English language. Never thought of it. There is the imperative mood. Say that again. There's an imperative mood for everywhere. Are you serious? Yes. And the Latin verb for to do is agere. And the imperative mood for agere is agendum for the singular and agenda for the plural. I'm not even sure Webster's in the best dictionary to tell you that. Agenda are the things that I am supposed to do. They are binding on my conscience. So I jot down. So far, the general examined. Now, the particular examined. See, Father, that's enough, please. I examine my conscience, and I plan to have this meditation. I believe it is God's will. What is a particular examine of conscience? In general, is a plan for the future. The next week, the next month, maybe several months, but not the indefinite future. It should be a definite period of time. Let's say the next month. I plan on overcoming another someone, particular moral failing in my life. There are seven capital moral failings, otherwise known as the seven capital sins. Some people, you never see them angry. They don't have enough energy. If they get angry, their problem is laziness. So what are my particular failings, and I choose someone that's Ignatius. Failure in prayer. One does not pray as much or as fervently as I should. Well, failure in some particular virtue, like charity. It is very venerable. Over the 45 years now that with God's grace I've been counseling souls, it is good to identify some external manifestation of that feeling. I'm ready to become more charitable. And how do I examine myself? Look, charity is not an abstraction. Charity is a reality. How do I manifest in ways that I can then identify? And it makes me even tell me to count. Now, with charity, as with patience, as with humility, the one manifestation of failure in most virtues that we should all be able to identify every day is our speech. as a proverb has it, speak, so I know who you are. Say something, so I will know who you are. Speech reveals our personality more than anything else in our lives. Cleon Challenger, whom have I said what about? Or about whom have I said what? Now, there are two ways of approaching a particular exam. Both tried and proved valuable. Either zeroing in on some particular moral failing for a definite period of time, which has some external manifestation, or some particular moral virtue. And then again, examining myself on how well and faithfully I put that virtue into practice. And again, charity, patience, humility, promptness over the years. And we used to have bells. Bells to get up. Bells at different times of the day. Well, I made a mental note. Which of my brethren were the last ones for chapel? And I found out they were usually the first ones for meals. We get into certain habits. So all the same, we all need to examine in the way in which we are describing, with such adaptation or adjustment as each one's personal life may require. This particular examen should also be commonly associated with some prayerful aspiration. Either before I'm in danger of committing a particular failing that I know I have a tendency to, or while I'm doing something that could be an occasion of sin for me. Or again, after I have performed some act of virtue. Don't dwell on the virtue. Ah, how holy I am. I wonder why the church does not canonize living persons. Or I failed and done something wrong, immediately some short word or two to the other word, I've been a fool. And by the way, when you talk about yourself to God, there is no limit to the language you can use. My notes here tell me to read just a few of the aspirations from the standard prayer book for the Jesuits, and called, in fact, for Jesuits. You find it in the index. Thank you. apologies for holding things up. May Jesus' mercy, loving heart of Mary, be my salvation. Suppose our particular failing is selfishness, and the virtue that I want to cultivate is the love of God, an aspiration like, Jesus, my God, I love you above all things. Suppose I'm given to inordinate attachment to some person or persons, and on occasion of sin for me, heart of my King, I love you. To overcome discouragement, sacred heart of Jesus, I trust in you. All the risk of dallying, playing with sinful thoughts, save me, O Jesus. Cease. The heart of Jesus is with me. And across the standard for temptations or failings in pride and vanity, or the cultivation of humility, Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Chastity, Jesus, source of all purity, have mercy on me. Prudence, seal of wisdom, pray for us. My favorite aspiration is by now, you must know, whenever I begin any class or a lecture or a meditation, daily tweet, seed of wisdom, pray for us. I still have something to say about the benefits. It is a good idea to have a small notebook for one's daily exams of conscience. I use and recommend the Ordo, O-I-D-O, which comes out every year, maybe in November, before the ecclesiastical year begins, and it contains, for each day of the year, has what mass is to be said, whose feast it is, what the readings of Mass are, first readings, the Gospel, and an intention for which, as a priest, I offer the Mass. If you want to, there may still be some copies available from Georgetown University Press of the Court of Jesuit Oro, and it's already May the 8th. If you have any copies left, it should give us a good discount. That's what I use. At least a little notebook. Over the years, I cannot tell you how many professional people who have been doing this for years. You cannot run. My gosh. A small grocery store. A Pizza Hut restaurant. But I'm making a daily inventory. Otherwise, after 6 weeks, to be out of business. And the most important business we're in is the business of salvation. Now, some of the benefits. The daily examine of conscience provides us with a daily inventory of our spiritual life. Secondly, it makes us alert through the day of what we should do. Given our prior definition, the examine would include anticipating what I'm supposed to do. Third, it helps us to see the graces that God is constantly giving us through the day. I really believe most people's problem is they don't recognize the grace when they see it. Fourth, the daily examines of conscience help us to remember from past experience what we should be doing here and now. Needless to say, being late for the last meditation, I failed. I should have been on the alert. Another party calling him out of state. Sorry, we'll have to. Well, postpone this conversation to some later time. Number five. What a precious gift this is. The daily examine of conscience keeps us humble. We see our daily failings. Number six. The daily examine of conscience encourages us by recalling the many blessings we daily receive from God. Notice, this is not self-scrutiny. It's a being in God's presence, and while speaking with Him, looking both at what He has given me and what I have failed. Number seven. It enables us to see the progress in our spiritual life. And we all need it. I can tell you we need it. And finally, the daily examine of conscience systematizes our whole life. I'm afraid only God knows whether I can save most people. But I'm sure that many people live an unsystematized, an unplanned, and, of course, a disordered life. They have not done what the master of the spiritual life so strongly recommend. Daily examine of our conscience. What a prayer from St. Peter Canisius. a German Jesuit, doctor of the church. Here's his closing prayer for his daily examine of conscience. Seal, merciful God, of whom I, your thankless servant, have made for the innumerable favors and the wonderful love you have shown me, the wrongs I have done, what good left undone, what should I beg you, these faults and stains with your precious blood, most kind Redeemer, and make up for my poverty by applying your merits. Give me the protection I need to amend my ways for the future and the whole manner of my life. I give it.